I'm VOA's Jeff Custer with this worldwide news update. Israel pounded Syrian army bases Tuesday in strikes it says aimed to keep weapons from falling into hostile hands, but denied its forces had advanced into Syria beyond a buffer zone at the border. Reuters correspondent Sean Hogan reports.
Israeli troops were seen moving into a UN-monitored buffer zone with Syria on Tuesday in the wake of the Assad regime's collapse. That's amid reports from Syrian sources that Israeli forces had penetrated beyond the demilitarized zone and to within 15 miles of the capital, Damascus. Since President Bashar al-Assad's flight on Sunday ended more than five decades of his family's rule, three security sources told Reuters Israelis had pushed beyond the area established following a 1973 war. Israel calls the incursion into the buffer zone a temporary measure to ensure border security, but an Israeli military spokesperson had said troops had not pushed further and that Israel was not seeking conflict with the new authorities in Syria.
That was Reuters correspondent Sean Hogan reporting. Meanwhile, the UN envoy for Syria said Tuesday the armed groups that drove out President Bashar Assad have been sending good messages about national unity and inclusiveness, but he acknowledged that a Security Council resolution still counts the leading insurgency as a terrorist group. At a news briefing in Geneva Tuesday, UN envoy to Syria Geir Pedersen said it's been 9 years since the Security Council resolution that designated Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, or HTS, then known as the Nusra Front, a terrorist group.
We are still in what we call a very fluid period. Things have not settled. There is a real opportunity for change, but this opportunity needs to be grasped by the Syrians themselves and supported by the UN and the international community.
This is VOA News. Court records in New York show prosecutors have filed murder charges against the 26-year-old suspect in the murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Associated Press correspondent Jennifer King has details.
Luigi Nicholas Mangione is in custody in Pennsylvania after police responded to a tip from a customer at a McDonald's in Altoona. Deputy Police Chief Derek Swoop.
That male was asked to remove his face mask and officers immediately recognized him as a suspect.
The complaint says when asked whether he'd been to New York recently, he became quiet and started to shake. Arresting officer Tyler Fry had been with the force for all of 6 months.
He didn't even think twice about it. We knew that was our guy.
A law enforcement official who spoke with the Associated Press said Mangione carried a document in which he claimed to have acted alone and wrote it had to be done. These parasites simply had it coming. Officials say he was carrying a ghost gun like the one used to kill Thompson and the same fake ID the shooter had used to check into a New York hostel, along with a passport, fraudulent IDs, and $10,000 in cash. I'm Jennifer King.
Police in Kenya fired tear gas and arrested at least three people Tuesday in the capital, Nairobi, as hundreds protested a wave of femicide cases, the killing of women and girls because of their gender in the country. Several hundred people, mostly women, marched in the streets where they blew whistles and chanted, "Stop killing women." They were repeatedly dispersed by police officers firing tear gas from moving vehicles before regrouping. Protester Cynthia Kamunto expressed her frustration with the police response.
They are lodging tear gas canisters at us. We were not even armed. We were just trying to make sure that everybody is aware that this is a crisis. This is a pandemic that we need to fight against.
Researchers say patriarchal views and insufficient legal protections are major factors behind Kenya's high levels of gender-based violence. Kenya's police have also faced criticism for their actions during anti-government protests in June and July of this year, when at least 60 people were killed. The authorities have broadly defended the police response, but said investigators are looking into specific allegations of misconduct. Brazil's president had to undergo surprise brain surgery late Monday, which doctors say was brought on by a fall months ago. AP correspondent Haya Pinjwani reports.
Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva is recovering after an unplanned surgery. Lula is conscious and in an intensive care unit after a procedure for an intracranial hemorrhage. That's according to doctors at a hospital in Sao Paulo. The procedure was performed after the 79-year-old leftist leader suffered complications from a fall at home in October. Doctors say there will be no after effects and added that Lula is expected to return to the capital at the beginning of next week. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
That wraps up this news update, but the world and the news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website, voanews.com, 24 hours a day. I'm Jeff Custer, VOA News.